John 15 and verse 5. The end of verse 5. The very end of that verse. Without me. That is, without Jesus. The words of Jesus himself. Without me. Ye can do nothing. And then in the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul speaking, I have strength for all things in him that gives me power. I want to speak of the Lord Jesus as the only power for the Christian life. First of all, I'm going to tell you a story that I think you'll find interesting. A wildlife observer was on the riverside one summer's day in Wiltshire, and he observed suddenly, he heard first of all a squeaking on the far side of the bank, on the far bank. And he saw four weasels racing along towards the weir where the sluice gates were, and then there was a drop waterfall, took the river water down to a lower level. On closer examination, looking across the water, he saw a baby weasel being carried by the tide rapidly towards the sluice gates. The other four weasels ran along and climbed the post of the sluice gates and ran along to the top of it, to the centre post. And one of them, may well have been the mother, waited for the baby to come within her reach, and then she leapt from the sluice gates and caught up the baby weasel in her mouth and climbed again the post. With great difficulty, not quite reaching the top, until one of the other weasels hauled her up with her baby. I think that's a beautiful illustration of what we were speaking of this afternoon. The Lord Jesus said, no man can pluck them, the sheep, out of my hand. And then he said, my Father is greater than I. And no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Double security. Isn't it wonderful? The way that God has acted in wondrous grace to meet every one of us who were quite helpless to do anything for ourselves. And that's what takes me to this scripture. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now this afternoon in the reading, someone quoted, speaking of the Lord Jesus, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. But thank God, he was of God. And furthermore, he is God. He was God when he was here upon earth. He is God, highly exalted, a prince and a saviour tonight. Yes. And so, dear friend, dear young lover of Jesus, does that apply to everyone here? Jesus would say to you tonight, without me, you can do nothing. You know, we couldn't have our sins forgiven if it were not for Jesus. He would say to you tonight, without me, you can't have your sins forgiven. But thank God that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Every one of us comes under that category. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is a great company, a vast company of doctors of the law. You can read about it in Luke's Gospel at your leisure, chapter 5. And all this vast company of teachers and doctors of the law were gathered together, and one little sentence follows that announcement, and it is this, that the presence of the Lord, the Lord was present to heal. And you know what those doctors of the law needed? Was that which every one of us has needed, the forgiveness of their sins. And there was one poor man, a paralytic, carried by his friends to the house where Jesus was. And on account of this vast company of doctors of the law and teachers, it was full to the doors. So these men who were carrying the paralytic, they wondered however they could get him to Jesus. And they realized that there was one way only. They must get up and take up the tiles and put that man down on his couch to Jesus inside. And you know, it says, you might wonder what he would have thought about that. But, as another has said, ah yes, that man would say, is it all right? Are you doing right in taking me up there? Oh yes, they'd say, he won't mind. So they take up the tiles and they let him down in front of Jesus. And his first words to that man was, what do you think? Rise up and walk? No. He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. The very thing the man needed. He went to the root cause of the trouble. You know, that is the root cause of every trouble, every illness in this world, that we shapen in iniquity, born in sin, yes. Not only what we have done, but what we are, as fallen creatures. So the Lord went straight to the point. And there were those who complained and said, who is this man? Who can forgive sins but God? But God was there, you see. And he was there to proclaim forgiveness of sins to one poor needy sinner. And he's here near at hand tonight so that anyone who feels their need can call upon him. Yes, you could not possibly have your sins forgiven without Jesus, without me. You cannot have your sins forgiven, the Lord would say. But you know, if ever he was to let that man go out carrying his bed as he did, for he followed those words with the words evidencing his creatorial power, rise up and walk, take up thy bed and walk. And he went home to his own house carrying his bed. You know, Jesus can make you equal to every purpose of your heart as you let him into your life. He loves to be trusted by the youngest child. I was only a little boy when I put my trust in Jesus, a little bit bigger than Martin, yes, but I knew what it was. I hadn't the need of my sins being forgiven. Well, I want you to remember this word tonight. The words of Jesus. Without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. You can't be saved without Jesus. Now that is something a little more than the forgiveness of your sins. That clears you, you might say, before God. But you need practical salvation day by day, because you move in a world that is opposed to the Lord Jesus. You move in a world that has cast them out, that still the language of their hearts is, when will he die and his name perish? But that name will live eternally, and it's the most precious name to the believer in Jesus. So there was that man, when Paul and Silas were in the prison, you know, those who hated the preaching of the gospel had them cast into prison. And suddenly there was an earthquake, you remember. An earthquake, we don't experience them in this country, do we? Very often, there have been a few tremors at different times, but in some cases they are most devastating. Houses all tumble down, suddenly whole villages disappear. That has happened very, very recently. It's the power of God, you know. But in this case, it was used to the conversion of one man. And he had to learn, as he came in fear and trembling, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He had to learn that his salvation was in a person. The answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." New translation, "Believe on the Lord Jesus." Precious term. Term that belongs to the lovers of Christ. Lord Jesus. Mr. Nunnally used to say, a precious piece of assembly property. Only really those in the knowledge of what the assembly is to the heart of Christ can really say Lord Jesus. And they cannot say it without the Spirit. So that man had to learn that his salvation was in Jesus. Without him, he could do nothing. But with him, as he received him into his heart and had his whole household baptized, he begins to get to work because Jesus is with him. He had them all baptized and he laid the table and they had a wonderful time of fellowship together. Well, you can have your sins forgiven if you know what it is to take Jesus into your heart. You can know what salvation is. Salvation that will set you up to fulfill the responsibilities of your life before God in the knowledge that the Lord is with you. Then, you know, as our scripture says here, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." That is those who have put their trust in Jesus. He's speaking to his disciples. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." You cannot bear fruit unto God without Jesus in your heart. I believe that this is a word for us all, you know. To go out morning by morning in the knowledge that Jesus is with you. Don't think of him as far away in the glory. If he's enthroned in your heart, he's very, very near. And you have the Holy Spirit, God with us, a power to be related to Christ, to speak with him, to hear his voice. As we were having this afternoon, "My sheep hear my voice, know my voice, and known of me." And then, you know, it's so wonderful. You can be justified, but not without Jesus. He was delivered for our offences, raised again for our justification. That means that we are cleared completely in the sight of a holy God. Justified. Wonderful thing. But Jesus is the one who is the justifier. Yes. Wonderful, isn't it? And then, you know, we can too serve God. Serve God. Serve Christ in our pathway here. As loving him, we can be meet for the Master's use. Separated from the world that has no room for Jesus. Finding no pleasure in the world or the things of the world. Save what God in his goodness has given us to enjoy in creation. Which speaks powerfully of his mighty hand. For God has brought all things into being. Man has spoiled it. Through his own sin, through his own greed, through his own sinfulness as away from God. Without me, ye can do nothing. You cannot enter heaven without Jesus. Precious prospect of those who have opened their hearts to him, to have, to spend eternity. We're speaking of eternal life this afternoon. Think of it. You cannot compass it, can you? Eternal life. Year after year, forever and ever, in the presence of Jesus, who died for you, who shed his precious blood, that you might be redeemed to God. What a prospect. But you know, it says in the book of Revelation, no abomination shall enter there. No abomination, nor a lie, shall have any place there. But only, and it says only, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So without Jesus, you cannot enter heaven. But everyone who has put their trust in him has their name written there. On the page, white and fair. Tell me, is your name written there? Jesus knows. He keeps that book. All the names of those who love him are written up there. What a register it is. And you know, one day the books are going to be opened. And anyone whose name is not found in that book will never enter heaven. No, they'll come under the unsparing judgment of a holy God. But you know, for the believer, the holy claims of God's throne have been fully answered to, fully met, when Jesus died upon Calvary's cross. Well, that is my message to you tonight. The words of Jesus himself, without me, ye can do nothing. Think of that, not only tonight, think of it tomorrow, when you go to school, when you go to work, wherever you are, think of those words, without me ye can do nothing. Surely everyone who loves Jesus desires to be fruitful, desires to abide in Jesus, abide in him, the vine, thereby producing that wonderful fruit of the vine, which makes glad the heart of God and man. Isn't that wonderful? The heart of God and the heart of man brought together in Christ, the vine. But without me, Jesus says, ye can do nothing. Think of a time when the heart of man and the heart of God were poles apart. Every imagination of the thought of the heart of man was only evil continually. And it says it grieved God in his heart that he had made man. In Christ, oh how blessed, in Christ the blessed Saviour, the heart of God and the heart of man are brought together. Christ is enthroned in the heart of the believer. Christ is the one whom God has enthroned on his own throne on high. And soon he's going to take his own throne and reign in wondrous equity, in absolute righteousness. And of his kingdom, of his government, and there will be no end. What a reign it will be. So the Apostle Paul could say, and mind you, he was one who was on a road of opposition to the truth, of hatred of those who had put their trust in Jesus, on the Damascus Road, to cast into prison those who were of the way, those who loved Jesus, and having letters too, by which, of authority by which they could be put to death. Such was the heart of Saul of Tarsus, when suddenly a light from heaven brings him down to the earth. And he hears a voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know, he says, who art thou, Lord? Wonderful thing. And that the Lord Jesus can find an entrance into your heart as quickly as that, in which he came into the heart of Saul of Tarsus. And you know that crooked man. I say crooked because he was opposed to Christ. He was opposed to the believers in Jesus. He was contrary, on a path contrary to the will of God. Suddenly he's brought to a halt in his footsteps. And instead of a crooked path, he finds himself treading a straight path. And that's what Jesus can do for you. He can set you on a straight path to glory tonight. He was told to go into Damascus, and a disciple named Ananias was sent to him to find him in a certain house in the street called Straight. Yes, he was walking straight for the first time. And it is Jesus that can turn you around from a crooked path to a straight path, a path that leads you straight to glory. He could say, "Have not I seen the Christ? Without him, I could do nothing. But with him," he says, "I have strength for all things in him that gives me power." And the power comes from Christ, one who, to whom God has committed all power. And in the presence of the gift of the Holy Spirit, you are set up so that you have power to walk in the path of discipleship, faithfulness to Christ, serving him. And whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty that may come into your life, remember this verse also: I have strength for all things in him, in that blessed one that gives me power. May you prove that power for yourself in your life, and may you testify of it so that it becomes a power in the lives of others also, for his name's sake.